Welcome, 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 Harbor Tribe. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michelle Bro. I'm a daughter of the house for probably almost 18 years, and I have been through crazy transitions. I have been here the long haul, and it is just beautiful what I see in this place and what I feel in this place, and so honored to be here this morning, so thankful and excited. And I feel like what I'm doing today is actually like this TED Talk, because it's like God had given me this download maybe around March about how do we actually wait well. And so he's been bringing me on this journey of how to wait well for the past several months. And if you know anything about me, I've had the opportunity to pray for you, I am all about the now. I am all about, like, I mean, when I'm praying for you, it's like, I want to see the creative miracle now. And as much as that is a component of his nature, because absolutely, he does the now miracle. He does the now breakthrough. He does the now, let me give you a holy download so you can see from heaven's perspective. Even though he does all that, another component of his nature on the other side is that he likes to bring us through process. And we don't necessarily like process so much. And as an American culture, it's actually countercultural to actually go through process. I mean, who in here gets, I mean, you're mad when Amazon Prime does not give you 2-day service. I mean, mad. I'm like, okay, dude, it's Christmas and it didn't show up on time. Yeah, I might have ordered the gift like 2 days before Christmas Eve, but you should still show up on time, right? And so, and they actually give you a month free for every time they don't show up, from what I understand. I've never gone after that, but hey, take it and call them. But yeah, I mean, in South Louisiana especially, like, give me a roux that you have stirred over and over and over for 2 hours. Do not give me the jar. And I like my roux dark. So keep stirring, baby. Keep stirring. He's about process. And I mean, how often have we, like, instant mashed potatoes? Really? Really? And then instant rice? Really? Like, oh my gosh, we have substituted, as Americans, we have substituted taste and convenience for quality. I mean, we are saying, like, we're not even worried about quality. Like, have you ever done, like, chicken stock? It's like at a low heat for a long period of time. I mean, you can get chicken broth all you want. Chicken broth is going to taste like water and chicken. But chicken stock is all the minerals have been pulled from the bones, and it's like a superfood. But that only happens at low pressure heat for a long period of time. Do you get the goodness? So oftentimes we substitute. We make these substitutes and we say, don't worry about quality because I want the here and the now. But God's like, I want the long pressure so the goodness of God can come out of you. I want the long pressure so that we actually know what's in us and it can rise to the top. Every imperfection, it can actually rise to the top and come out of it. And that's only done in the waiting, in the waiting. And so what does it actually mean to wait? You may be waiting for a phone call. You may be waiting for a positive pregnancy test. You may be waiting for your ship to come in. You may be waiting for a spouse to come knocking at your front door. You may be waiting for a medical treatment to come through because you can't seem to get a breakthrough in your medical health. I don't know what you're waiting for, but you've prayed about it and your answer is not yet. Not yet. And what do you do? How do you do it well? As a son and a daughter of God, how do you do it well when he says not yet? That's the question. So in Webster's dictionary, if we define to wait, it's to stay in a place of expectation and to look forward expectantly. So it's not this apathetic place where we just say, oh, whatever happens, happens. No, I'm expecting a miracle from the God who gives miracles. I'm expecting you to bring those imperfections to the surface so that I can be more like you. It's only in the waiting. Nelson's Bible Dictionary refers to it in Scripture that the word wait typically means an anxious yet confident expectation by God's people that the Lord will intervene on their behalf. So we're confident he will intervene on our behalf. So let's look at what Bible is this? Message Bible. I'm in the Message Bible today, and because I love it in the Passion, John 11, but for their sake, the Message translation, because it was a lot. And we're going to talk about the death of Lazarus. And because so often, this is how we respond in the waiting. So often, the way that Mary and Martha responded to Jesus is the way that we respond to him in the waiting. And so let's look at verse 1, and we're going to go through quick. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It's the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with oil. And so it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. And so the sister sent word to Jesus, Master, the one you love so very much is sick. So you can already see they're making the case there. You know Jesus, the one you love, is sick. Jesus, you know me, the one who can't get pregnant? I'm the one who's sick. How often? Jesus, the one who hasn't found the spouse yet? Jesus, show up. You're making a case. Jesus, show up. The one that you love. Show up. Because when you show up, we know miracles are going to happen. Yeah. When Jesus got message, he said, this sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. And so often we don't have the perspective of heaven knowing that our situation in the waiting, in the pressure, life crushing down on us, it feels that he's actually going to get glory for it. And that's why he has us in the waiting. So what's it say then? Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Jesus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. Jesus, I am desperate here, and you're going to stay for 2 more days? Really? You got to be kidding me. You know the one you love? You're going to stay for 2 more days? Because we don't have heaven's perspective. So on the third day, after the 2 days, on the third day, he said, let's go back to Judea. They said, Rabbi, we can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you. You're going back. Jesus replied, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. He's obviously talking. He's hooked up to the God of the universe, to the Father. He's hooked up to him. So, of course, there's light. I'm going to go and I'm going to do what the Father tells me to do. But if you're walking and you stumble because you don't know where you're going, if that happens, just hook up to the light. That's all you need to do. He said these things and then announced, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm going to wake him. The disciple says, Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest. and wake up feeling fine. Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died. And I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. So good. Now let's go. That's when Thomas, the one who called the twin, oh my gosh, I love Thomas here. I love Thomas. It says, well, let's just go back to Judea because we'll all die with him. I love that. Hey, just blind faith. Like, okay. So we have Thomas, and he says, when Jesus finally gets there, he found Lazarus dead already 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple miles away. And many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. So they had a crowd. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. So it kind of seems to me like Mary was like, I am not going to see him. That's what it sounds like to me. So Martha said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And how often do we say this? We're in the process of waiting for something. And we're like, Jesus, if you had shown up in this situation, this would never have happened. And we say it with a little bit of an attitude because we don't understand heaven's perspective and we don't understand his goodness. Even now I know whatever you ask God, he will give you. Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. Martha replied, I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. You don't have to wait for the end. I am the I am right now. I'm the resurrection and I am the life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? She says, yes, Master. All along, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world. But she still doesn't understand that God is about to raise up her brother, Lazarus. She still doesn't get it. Even though he's telling her this, still at this point, still does not see heaven's perspective. Okay, so after saying this, she went to Mary and said, the teacher is here and he's asking for you. The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not entered the town, but was waiting at the place that Martha had met him. So he's waiting on Mary. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw, they all went. Then she says, Master, if only you had been here. So once again, we see it. She's aggravated. If you had shown up in this situation, it would have never happened. So why did you wait a 2 extra days? Because I know the walk back was not that far. When Jesus saw her sobbing, the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, where'd you put him? Master, come and see, they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, look how deeply he loved him. Still don't get it. You see in this? They still don't get it. Others among them, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? Because we already saw him open blind eyes. But now it's too late. It's too late. Okay, then Jesus, the anger welling up again, arrived at the tomb. It was simple. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, okay, so this is how you know. She still didn't get it. Master, by this time, there's still a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. He's told her, like, I am God. And you still don't understand that I'm going to resurrect him. Death is not final in my kingdom. Jesus looked at her in the eye. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, go away, roll away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you've listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so they might believe you sent me. It's so much more than just you. There's a crowd of people looking at you to see how you respond in the waiting. There's a crowd of people following you to see if you keep heaven's perspective in the waiting. It's not fun. The waiting is not fun. But it's the kingdom of God's DNA that we have to wait for some things. When Tim and I first got married, we had talked about children, and we said, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. We're not, you know, it's okay. If it does, it's okay. If it doesn't, you know, we'll just give it time. And after about 4 years of nothing happening, we decided, okay, something's not right. So in the fifth year, we went to the doctor. And totally, like, when I say every fear in me, like when I say I had fear of giving blood, I had fear of shots, I had fear of all these things, but I was in the doctor's office literally probably 10 times a month giving blood or getting shots. We had these mini rounds. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. I think we went through 7 mini rounds of nothing working. And so we said, finally, we're going to go for the big guns. And it's your last-ditch effort, basically, to be able to get pregnant, called IVF. So we went through a round of IVF. And it was Christmas time. And at Christmas, I'm really like, okay, God, would love under the Christmas tree to be a baby, a yes. And in the day after Christmas of that year, our no that year was the same time that Pastor and Pastor Angela got a yes, the same day. And it was devastating. When I say devastating, I felt like I was crushed, that I could not go. Our best friends in the entire world had just gotten a yes to their fifth baby, and we had none. But God gets glory. But God gets glory because now we have 4 amazing world changers that he just totally went, and I'll get to a little bit more of the testimony in a little while, but he came through big. And when he comes through big like that, then you stand on that and you say, now this next promise, guess what? You did that then, so I know you'll do it again. So as I'm going through, and I know that he's talking to me about in the waiting, he just gives me this download of there's some core beliefs that we need to believe while we're waiting for the promise. While we're waiting for the breakthrough, there's some things that we must do as sons and daughters that we must do to keep our mind straight and our focus on him. So there's 7. If you're writing these down, there's 7 of them. And the first core belief that he said, my delays are not my denials. My delays are not my denials. So your answer's just not yet. Your answer's just not yet. It's not timing yet. Number 2, what you're waiting for is worth the wait. because so often we become apathetic in our dreams and our hopes and in our promises and our prophetic words. We become apathetic because we didn't see it immediately. And we say, oh, whatever happens will happen. And it's a dream killer. Number three, God is good. The third core belief in waiting is that God is good. If it's not good, it's either not God or he's not done yet. It's one of the two things. So don't reduce his goodness down to your circumstances because you don't get the whole picture. You're not seeing the whole picture yet. So don't reduce his goodness down to the here and the now. He is good. Number four, he crazy loves you. Amen. And in those times of infertility and all the treatments, I often wondered about his goodness and his love for me. Those were the two things that I'm like, does he really love me? Because if he really loved me, I wouldn't be going through this right now. But he really loves you. And if you look at Romans 5, it's so awesome. Romans 5 actually says, now who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a noble person. That would be easy to die for a noble person, but a wicked person, not so much. It's not on my to-do list. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. That's crazy love. Crazy love for you. Even when we're wicked, even when we didn't represent anything that the kingdom represents, he still died for us. And he said, you're still worth it. He is still working on us. And if we keep the perspective that he's still working on us, we know that he's dealing with some things in our lives, the insecurities, the rejection, the pain, the suffering. He's dealing with all those things. And that we can keep that perspective and that belief system that he's still working on us. And keep that as a core belief while we're in the waiting. Yes. It makes it easier. Because yes. We know that we're not going back. We're moving forward. Number six, he doesn't use fear to motivate us, but overcomes fear with his love. So often we pray from the place, like if you have a prodigal that hasn't come home yet, we pray like from this place of fear. We pray instead of just declaring God's goodness. Well, so if we're praying from a place of fear, let me just give it as an example. If we're praying from a place of fear, we're saying, oh, God, save my lost loved one. Oh, God. But if we're praying from a place of love and knowing his love, we will actually say, I declare that whenever you put the Passover lamb over the house, that was a household salvation. And so, Father, we declare that prodigal to come home. We know that angels are already dispatched now working on our behalf. Even while they sleep, you are ministering to them day and night. How much different is that in fear versus in love? We just stand on his promises and on his goodness. Number seven, he makes good on his promises. Every time you see the rainbow and you're in the waiting, I declare your promise. I declare your promise. Remember your promise. He says, I remembered Noah. I remembered Hannah. He says, and so every time you see it, you say, I know that you're remembering my promise. Even now, and you're already working on my behalf. So Proverbs 13:12 in the Passion Translation says, when hope's dream seems to drag on, the delay can be depressing. But when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy the soul. Just don't abandon ship. don't abandon the ship too early because you haven't seen the dream fulfilled yet. Because he wants to use your very dream, your very prophetic word, your promise. He wants to use that as a testimony so that the crowd can see. Amen. And so that he can be glorified. And so that people know that the Father sent him. Four years ago, we had awakening services with Dutch Sheets and Prophet Ron Teal and Jonathan Suber. And right after those services, Prophet Ron Teal came, and he was going to do some extended services with just this house. And Pastor was out of town, so Tim and I took him to dinner. And didn't know us from Adam. We had never been even really formally introduced. So we take him to dinner, and at dinner, he tells Tim, he says, and he has a prophetic word for him, and he says, you're going to be retired in 2 years. And Tim had already said that word, and so it was really a word of confirmation. He said some other things, too, that revealed, like, absolutely it was confirmation that we knew. And so when the two-year mark came around, it did not look like it was in sight. When I say that prophetic word was like, God, where are you? What happened to this word? I mean, we have been preparing. And I guess at about a year and a half, we wound up putting everything we owned up for sale. We had our house for sale. We had a spec house for sale. We had property, land, all but our kids were the only thing that wasn't for sale. And so literally everything was for sale because we're like, we know you said this word. It was confirmation. And so, but we had not put a timeline on it. But when Prophet Ron put a timeline on it, it was like, okay, I'm not understanding. So after a month of not understanding, being like, where are you, God? Why did you wait 2 extra days, God? He said, it's in process. It's in process. So I stood on, it's in process. That's all I know to do. It's in process. So now, that was in May. So now it's August. And in August, somebody actually calls on a piece of property that we didn't know that we didn't have for sale and said, I want that piece of property. Then 2 days later, a day later, Tim's office calls and says, we've been taken over by Cox Media. You no longer have a job. Basically, here's your severance check. And then 2 days after that, our spec house sells. So it's like all of a sudden, in an instant, that like 5 days was like this crazy suddenly in our life that we were not expecting anywhere to come. I mean, how the person even knew we had that land was crazy. So Tim asks, he says, you know, when he goes to the mandatory meeting, he says, so when did this all start? When did the talk start that Cox was going to take over? In March. He said this was supposed to happen 2 times, and it was delayed. So the delayed prophetic word was really not a delay at all. It was just process. You're in process. That's it. Just process. And we just have to stick to the word. And you have to stick to your guns and say, you know what, though? I'm going to plant my feet firmly. Firmly. And know that you're going to come through. Because this is your word. So how do we wait well? How do we wait well? As sons and daughters of the King, how do we wait well? So first of all, we wait passionately. Passionately. It's not whatever will happen. So watch for indifference and lukewarmness and status quo because it will rob you. It will rob you of the very promise that he gave you. And it'll cause you to lose heart. Passion is actually activated when our ears are open to the Word of God and we put the Word of God in front of us and we say, speak to me. And you have a pen in your hand and you say, I will write down whatever you speak to me. That's passion. Amen. That's waiting passionately. Amen. Not in front of a TV. You don't find God in front of a TV. You wait passionately alone with him in the quiet and let his word speak to you. Let Holy Spirit speak to you. Say, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Wait patiently. I tell my kids, waiting patiently. Patience is not just waiting. Patience is actually having a good attitude while you wait. What is patience? Have a good attitude while we wait. Psalm 40 and verse 1, I've waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Waiting patiently means that I'm committed to standing my ground. No matter what I see, I stand my ground. Even under pressure, I stand my ground. I've planted my feet and they will not be moved. That's patience. Wait quietly. And this is a word to the church for here and now. Wait quietly. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know. Call this no agenda praying. When we quiet ourselves, we come into his presence, and we just say, God, what's on your heart today? It's not about my situation. It's not about the things that I don't see yet. But what's on your heart today? How often do we not ask that question, that we just bring these requests? God, what's on your heart today? And we just be still and we know. Because in the stillness, we're taking our eyes off of the problem and we're placing it on the one who has every answer. Amen. Guys, there's a battle for our eyes. There's a battle for your eyes. And what we completely focus on is ultimately what we will worship. You don't worship the problem. Don't worship what hasn't worked out yet. Worship the one who has all the answers. Wait surrendered. Wait surrendered, continuously surrendering to his plan and to his timing. Know and declare his goodness over your life and that he's working it all out for good. Like in John 11, for God to be glorified in your situation. His plan's always better. When we were in that last month, Christmas had happened. And our answer was no to babies. In January, who you guys remember Oprah Winfrey? Oprah? She had a talk show every day. And sometimes Oprah would have these after shows. And in the after show, it actually had 30-somethings in America, where it was like, 30-somethings had big families, 30-somethings had these incredible careers, 30-somethings were infertile. And there was this couple who they were in literally, I mean, it was like almost directly talking to us about not having babies yet. And Oprah, after the show, starts ministering to her. And when I say it was a God minister moment, like it was wild watching this unfold in front of my eyes. And she's like, honey, you have to surrender to the bigger plan. She's like, how do I do that? She said, because you know that his plan is bigger and better for your life. That's what you surrender to. We have to have that confidence in knowing that His plan is always better. So she said, she uses the example of she went out for the movie The Color Purple, and Oprah didn't get the spot. And during The Color Purple, she's like, you know, I really want to be able to be happy for the person who actually gets the spot. And she goes, and it had to have been because I was fat was the reason why they didn't accept me for the job. So she said she checked herself in a fat farm. Now, this is all her words, okay? Promise you. If I had the videotape, I would actually show it to you. I tried to get it, and I couldn't get it. So anyway, so she says, I checked myself into the fat farm, and I'm jogging around the track, and, you know, you're working out 24/7, and it starts raining. She's like, and I hate the rain on my hair. So she starts all this stuff, you know, like about how miserable the situation is, but she's got to surrender it. And so, and at that moment, she says, she starts singing in the rain, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And she said she kept singing and she kept singing and she kept singing. And all of a sudden, there was this breakthrough of just gratefulness. And she said, because at that moment, I surrendered to His bigger plan. And at that moment, they came running out to the track and said, Oprah, Steven Spielberg's on the phone for you. So she goes and answers the phone, and he says, Oprah, I heard you're at the fat farm. If you lose 1 pound, you don't get the spot. So she said, of course, I stopped by Dairy Queen on the way home. So, because she didn't want to lose that 1 pound. But it just goes to show you what surrender can actually do for your life when you say, God, take, even though it's your dream, it's your promise, take it, God. In the next month, so we're going through all these cycles, and I'm shooting my belly with shots and intramuscular shots daily, and it's crazy what you do for these miracles. And the next month we get pregnant. The next month we get pregnant, and if you know us, we have 4 amazing kids. Miracles one after another. And every single one was a miracle. I mean, when I say it was wild, if I had all the time in the world, I could tell you. But it was wild, the miracle. We had run out of embryos but after number 3. And we said, that's it, we're done. And then God just gave us baby girl because He's good. Because His plan is better. And it's better than what we could ever imagine or think if we just give it to Him. So we wait, and we wait surrendered. We wait prayerfully and with praise. Praise is a weapon. Once again, it gets your eyes off of you and your situation, and you put it on Him. He hears. It's just in process. Wait persistently. There's times when we wait and we have to keep knocking. There's times when you just say, remember you promised it to me. Remember that promise. Remember that prophetic word. And you keep knocking on heaven's door, and you keep knocking on heaven's resources. And then there's other times when we just have breakthrough immediately. But there's times when we have to just go after it persistently. And you keep knocking until you see it. Wait expectantly. Keep your hope. Keep your hope. Waiting is not being lazy. You do your part, and miracles come to those who expect the impossible. Miracles come to those who expect the impossible. Worship team, you can come. So there's rewards in waiting. If you just go under the Bible app and you hit search in waiting, it's so cool. The rewards for waiting is that he renews our soul. He renews our strength, our body. We receive his counsel in waiting. We inherit the land in waiting. We receive hope in waiting. He delivers you from evil in the waiting. And you get your promise in the waiting. You guys can go ahead and stand. So this is incredible. This is our hope. This is our hope right here. So it says, but hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something that we see? And then it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit actually, it's praying and interceding for us when we don't even know what to pray. That's how cool that is. Okay, so then it goes on and says, God, this is Romans 8, verse 27, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. He knows fully our longings. Yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us. This Holy One's in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Holy Spirit knows your longings and it knows what you're destined to do. He's just championing us before the Father so we can be all that we created to be. Who do you think put those dreams in there to begin with? Who do you think put those desires in you to begin with? So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. It all fits together. And we have this hope. This hope that he is continuously praying for us, that he desires it even more than what we do, and that is part of his perfect plan is you. Is you. And your destiny being fulfilled. There's a world waiting for you to fulfill your destiny. So there's two things. In the book of Acts, it talks about how they were to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. That word power is dunamis. There's one thing that it means, and like you get breakthrough immediately, and it's the miracle working power. And then the other side of power is to be able to endure until the breakthrough. And I just feel like there's some people in the room that you need that power to endure to the breakthrough. You need that power, the Holy Spirit power, to come upon you so you can endure and know he is working on your behalf. Then know and have confidence that he is working it all out for good. So as the prayer team's coming, if I'm talking to you, and you're enduring a hardship right now, that you're enduring and need breakthrough in any area of your life, whether it's health, whether it's prodigals coming home, whether it is whatever the situation that you might find yourself waiting for, and you need that power today, we're here for you. You guys can come forward. Whoever needs prayer, we're here for you. He's in the waiting. He's in your waiting. He's waiting with power for you in the waiting. Let's put our hand over our heart. Father, we just surrender. We surrender every hope and every dream to you, God. We surrender, God, because we know your plan is better. Help us to be good and faithful sons and daughters, that we wait well, and that we will see the breakthrough. Encourage, God, where there needs to be encouragement, that you're working on their behalf. Where there needs to be health, God, and we haven't seen breakthrough in our health, God, we just speak now, God. In Jesus' name, we speak breakthrough now. Enduring power now. Enduring power now. As they worship, just lift your hands to heaven and we just say, we surrender, God. We surrender, God.